Hickon Creek. You pull out Hickon Creek and carry it up on your shoulder, whatever your right or left, and you walk up a ladder. It has a long handle on it. And you carry it up on your shoulder. Then they want brick. You put the brick in that same hod, and you carry walk. Try to climb a ladder with it.
Yeah, well.
That was all for 15 cents a day. And then we had the apprenticeship for about 4 years before they let you in the, you get your release to go to the work on the open field.
Okay.
What
would you
like
to say?
I wanted to ask one more question about the Depression. Do you have any specific, any special recollections about it that stand out in your mind?
Well, as I look back on the Depression then, it's more or less the same that it is right now. You know what I mean? They had AIDS for people, you know. Like now they have like the ABCD for fuel and all like that. Mm-hmm. And but during the Depression they had these stations for food and you go get, you know, milk and food station. But out there in Stratford, they only had it once, and they discarded it, but there was nobody out there to use it.
Well, in Bridgeport, but, they used to come around in a truck and bring a box that we used to call have boxes. If any of your parents went on City Aid, they gave them a box. They gave them 5 pounds of beans or 10 pounds of beans, and some dried prunes and some soup or whatever it is they can buy the most of, and all in bags and orange juice or whatever the city feels like giving you, you have that box. The next week you turn that box in and get another box.
So that's how you survived during the Depression.
But my mother was stubborn enough not to get on the city aid.
I wouldn't use that word stubborn enough that she just...
I just use the word stubborn or too proud. And pardon. I don't think what proudness is stubbornness.
But, see, what, like I said, we raised, my father worked, we went at the store, you know, he got money. So we bought what... We canned.
Can you think of any examples of people's ingenuity that enabled them to survive during this time? And you say that...
Well, you learn what money is. You learn what life is all about, how hard you had to make it. Yeah, I'm just talking about... We're talking between ourselves. Just imagine what your parents went through.
No, excuse me. Well, what did you mean then? In your...
Something special that someone thought of just to try to get by, you know, during that time. You had your garden where it just like to just, you know, just blossom.
Well, yeah, some
but,
people.
You know, how sometimes
make bread and sold it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, make homemade bread and it would sell it.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
That's the kind of thing you're talking about.
Things that they thought up to try to help them.
Yeah, it was taking laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I said, a lot of people took in washing, ironing for different people. That's the way they earn money. And like for us, we had vegetables in the garden, we sold them.
Mm-hmm.
And the churches would... They gave the people, I mean, Saturday, the church usually have a picnic, they used to call it every Saturday. They would sit, church would buy hot dogs and things, and then we just have a block on the ground, and you go pay 10 cents for a hot dog, and that's where the church raised money, the garden parties.
How do you think people's spirits were during this time? Do you think they let the idea of depression get them down?
I think so.
I would say some did and some didn't. Some become very strong after that. But they never let anything get them down. They lived with it. and they didn't no complaining. They did what they had to do to survive.
The same thing now. I mean, you can deal with it or don't. I mean, we're not used to all the fancy frills. You got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't have it.
But we didn't have the dope. We didn't have the marijuana. We didn't have none of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you never had to be afraid to walk down the street at night or any time of night, not being hit in the head. Mm-hmm. And if I could remember being a youngster, if the cop brings you home, they weren't too willing to bring you down to headquarters. They bring you a neighborhood cop will bring you home after he have hit you with that stick. Then you got another beating when you got home.
What about medical care during the Depression?
Well, in the city of Bridgeport, we had, I forget what they had called, we had a blue card. And we'd go down to the welfare building and we get free medical care. They had the welfare building on
Washington.
Oh, on the street here, I forget the thing, Madison Avenue, Maine, the old welfare building. The welfare building now is in the brass office, the brass company office. We used to go down there, come from Walter Street, walk up there now, and show them your blue card you carried with you, and then you get free treatment. You had to wait, there's a crowd there, and then one doctor and nurse, then you have your medical treatment that way.
What about childbirth?
At home.
Midwife?
No, my mother had a doctor.
Mm.
Dr. James.
My mother had a doctor, Dr. Bradley, black doctor.
They would come to the house.
To the house, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about a midwife. I don't know.
I was born, Dr. Bradley delivered me, my kid brother, and my kid sister.
At home?
At home.
You had you say you were delivered by a black doctor?
Yes, by a black doctor.
Same here.
Now, my oldest sister and my oldest brother were born in New Rochelle.
I'm going to move from that to the World War II era. Okay, unless there's something else you want to tell me about the Depression that stands out.
No, I'm kind of glad it's gone.
All right, World War II. Where were you during World War II?
World War II, I was in service.
Where were you? In the scrap. Were you married by this time?
No.
Okay, you participated?
Yes.
Did any of the other brothers participate?
No.
Only you?
This time.
What about your brother?
Three brothers.
Three brothers were in World War II?
Mm-hmm.
What do you remember most about this period?
D-Day.
You remember D-Day?
Yes.
What do you remember most about it?
Well, you mean the battles or anything like that?
Anything that stands out in your
mind.
Well,
I remember my brother's going, you know, the fellow's going into service.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first time I ever saw so many soldiers together out there in Stratford, in the Army Barracks out there. And it was D-Day when it was such a sad day. You know, that always stick with me.
Well, being in there.
Were you in there when the war started? Or you went after it started?
I can't honestly think of that.
Don't worry about it. Tell me about it being there.
I enlisted. But the many things in there happened to me, and happened so fast that I couldn't recall any one single incident that was
standing
in my mind.
Well, anything that you want to tell me about. that's fine.
Well, one of the things that stick out in my mind that helped me out here in civilian life is some of the education I received in there. Because I did take up auto later on in years in state trade school, and it helped me to get me into the Air Force. I used to work down here at the airfield in Stratford. And they, when they found that out, they pulled me out of the outfit, the 366, and put me though it was all under the Army, put me in the Air Corps. And I ended up in Langley Field. And then from Langley Field, Hampton was just right there. And they sent us on the radio engine. They sent us to college, Hampton Institute.
Mm-hmm.
Then later we went down to Tuskegee.
Mm-hmm.
There were two black schools.
Mm-hmm. Were you in a black company?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
With three white officers. We had 99 men to our squadron.
Do you remember ever seeing any black officers?
We had one.
Mm-hmm.
But he proved very ineffective because we were in the South. We were in Virginia. And the white officer, they wouldn't even accept him in the officers' club, and he couldn't mingle with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to get rid, we didn't have to get rid of him, they got rid of him. Just one day he was gone.
Does anyone know what happened to him?
We had our own set of problems, and part of my training is in maneuvers that I had. We had an air base down in Atlantic City, one in Newark, and I forget just where the others were, and we had to go on a run to these different air bases, always on call. And that's how I got so far. I mean, seeing so many places.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing. I tell you the truth about the whole thing, I liked the Army. I liked the physical work, the physical condition it kept you in. But I wouldn't want to make it a 30-year career.
Did any of your friends go into service?
The fellows, yes.
Yeah. How did the war affect your family? Was there a shortage of food? You know, it was rationing during this time.
Well, I don't know how it affected my family.
Well. Mm-hmm. They had coupon books or something, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Stamps.
They had ration stamps.
Ration stamps that you have to have when you come home.
I know, but what I'm trying to say is that I don't think it affects us either, I mean, for butter, maybe,
Butter and sugar.
What about you thinking about your loved ones? How did you feel about that? Your friends and family that were part of the service. Did they go overseas?
Oh, yes. I had three brothers overseas.
Were you very concerned about it?
Oh, yes. I mean, especially, definitely. You don't know, and never know when.
What about
they all went to Europe. To the European theater. What about what?
Work during this time?
Well, that's when work began to pick up. Richmond once was called the industrial city of the New England states. Like more factories, you could come here and get a job and you walk out of one door to another one to get a job. It was booming down during the war.
How did that boomingness affect your family and your neighborhood?
Well, it increased the morale and the culture. And
people was more money.
Yeah, more money. And it made the morale of the people, standard of living higher.
Were there more houses built during this time? Because of the money, or they were so busy working?
No, there still was a housing shortage.
Was there a move to another neighborhood during this time?
No, everybody stayed put.
Okay. So you say that the social standing changed because there was more money.
You're right. Living standards and everything, you know.
Was there a change in race relations during this time?
I don't know. They're the same as they are now.
I believe there. I don't know how to answer that. I don't think you have enough of tape on there for me.
No, it's no. It's no.
You don't. I don't think you have enough of tape.
But I can tell you what I would say now. It did change somewhat from high school into the war. I mean, the people are a little better treated now, but Jesus, I don't know.
I'm sorry, you kind of asked that question.
We are accepted more now than we was before.
Well, I was really trying to see if you can remember how it was during World War II. All right, did black neighborhoods expanded during this time as compared to what was like in the Depression?
Oh, well, a lot of people, yes, expanded because they migrated. People migrated here.
There was a lot of, so many blacks came in.
Oh, yeah.
Oh yes.
And so
many blacks.
Neighborhoods expanded. Where did they live?
They come mostly from the south, from
out
west.
No, he just said, where did they live?
When they got
here. Oh, where they live.
Rooms, you know, people share their homes.
Did they live in a specific area, like up on the north end, or
anywhere they could find a room?
Any place where they can find a room, anybody turned their home into a living room, into a rooming house.
Okay, so that means that there still was not a black neighborhood as such during this time.
No,
it was getting to
it
be.
Just getting to be.
I would say the east side, the east end. You know, around Smith Street in that area. During the war, that's the beginning of the really the black neighborhood, because on Stratford Avenue you can. Wasn't like it is now.
In fact, we raised.
You could go walk up on Stratford Avenue and buy it. You didn't have to go downtown.
You didn't have to go downtown at all. We raised our four children off of Stratford Avenue.
And they had the children's store, they had a shoe store, they had markets, theater, hardware stores, fish market, meat market, drug store, everything. But now, when the blacks started moving in, they moved out.
Blacks started to move in during World War II.
Because when I left, I knew about 90% of the black people between Devon to Noah.
Mm-hmm.
When I come home, I didn't even know my next door neighbor.
Because things had changed.
Changed, yeah.
What about after the war? What happened with work?
It still was blue.
You still had a lot of work
after
the war. What about neighborhoods? Did people pretty much settle in? Did they build homes after the war was over because of the money?
Some homes were being built.
Some were being built.
I mean, mostly people purchased homes,
that were existing.
Yeah. I mean, the whites move on to.
So they purchased homes. Would you say they purchased homes primarily in the East End?
Yes.
More so on the East End, South End.
No.
Yes, it did. On the East End, East Side, and about the South End, where the black neighbors, black people begin to gather. Because the white people were making more money than the blacks now. The same thing as it is now. And they began to move out, build and move out. Mm-hmm. And as they did, the blacks moved in, Barton moved in. But it was still integrated.
Yeah. It was still integrated, but it was sort of more in one area.
On the east end.
In the east end. Okay. Had living conditions improved as a whole?
Yes.
For everyone after the war?
Yes.
Because there was more money around.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you do for social activities after the war?
Go to Rich Ballroom, Virginia Beach Ballroom.
Where is that?
They don't exist anymore.
They all burned down.
Where were they?
Rich Ballroom was down here on Fairfield Avenue, down here in Black Rock.
Black Rock. And Pleasure Beach Ballroom was in Pleasure Beach.
Pleasure Beach. And Pleasure Beach was there. It was an amusement park then. I used to go over to the amusement park.
So it really was booming socially then.
Yeah, and we'd have the big bands come in. And
Duke Ellis and all them fellow suicide, Cap Calloway and all them.
To the parks and, you know, go up to Salem Rock in West Haven.
What was happening up there?
There was an amusement park.
Where
Jimmy's is now, I mean, up in there, they tore down Salem Rock and built condominiums, those homes up there. It was an amusement park there. And,
in fact, we used to bring the kids up to Salem Rock, and they used to go down and go all the rides and... And
Pleasure Beach was good. And that's about it. Disney Park. Seaside Park.
And more work.
Did you get married during this time? After World War II?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm in 45.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a 45.
I thought I'd forget that date, but you forget it more so than I am.
Next question.
How'd you meet?
I used to go to the club.
His brother brought him, my brother, his pal Rum and my brother, they asked him when you came to the house, that's how we met. And we, in Stratford, we used to have the road from our ballroom. You know, we used to go down there Sunday nights and...
What was it?
The Rosemont.
Rosemont.
Rosemont Ballroom.
I mean, it was in Rosemont, in a house. Mm-hmm. And used to go down there Sundays. Mm-hmm. Afternoon, she used to have a dance all the time. Mm-hmm. That's about all recreation we
had.
And
the boys from Bridgeport used to go down there.
Well, I mean, people came from all over. And...
But your group went.
That's why, so the next question now, ladies.
She wants to get, I want to hear about the courtship. She keeps trying to change. All right, did you meet at the Rosemont Ballroom?
No.
No, I danced with her, but she said I never had. It's not hardly like me. A boy danced with a girl he doesn't remember. And remember that. Maybe he might forget, but he won't forget. And that's in your childhood and her childhood.
Mm-hmm. I used to go down to the Rosemont, not too often. I always went to Brooklyn, New York, on Sunday. I always went to New York.
But I went in for more for sports.
Mm-hmm.
But we met, and you know, he came to my house a few times, and he started coming over from Bass.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were going to the Elks or something.
Mm-hmm. When did the Elks come in? When did they become popular as a social group?
Because they were the only organization that gave a large stance to bring in the big name bands without an invitation.
You mean when the Elks became popular?
Mm-hmm.
It was during the war when more people joined, when they had more people had the money to join the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a small group in the beginning, also with the Masons.
So the Masons were established during World War II also?
Yes.
Or after?
Yeah. That was before then. They were here before that.
They were here before
then. The Masons and the Elks was too.
So was the Elks.
Mm-hmm. But they grew during and after.
They grew during the war.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other social or fraternal orders?
There was the Odd Fellows.
The Odd Fellows?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there were all kind of white fraternities, though.
Oh, we're talking about black now.
We'll keep it with black. Then there were the Elks, the Masons, the Odd Fellows.
But it was through these organizations that these big bands
would come here.
Uh-huh. And they would have it at the Rose Ballroom.
No. They would have it at
the Ritz or the Pleasure Beach Ballroom.
Yeah. The Rosemont was just a, I tell you, old house.
Rosemont
was. But the Ritz was really a big,
beautiful ballroom.
Uh-huh.
Second floor, you know. But the Elks, the American Legion started up. I mean, they were here. The American Legion.
Mm-hmm. Before World War One, they organized then.
Yes, they had it ready for it. Then when we came back, then we joined. That's what ruled, and we threw all our resources in it.
Mm-hmm.
She said,
"Cut
it off for
me." Any social clubs for women? You say something about the Masons, the American Legion, and the Elks, the Ladies Fraternity Elks, too?
Yes. You know, the Daughters is in the Elks. The Masons is Eastern Stars.
Had Eastern Star started back then?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. And that chapter has been established that long?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about an American Legion? Did they have that auxiliary?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They had the auxiliary. It started from, you know, World War One veterans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you have a church wedding? Did you have a church wedding?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it.
I got married in Bethel Church, my husband's church. I was supposed to get married in our church in Stratford, but it got burned. And it wasn't ready, so we moved it down to Bethel in Bridgeport. We had a reception at the Rosemont, there in Stratford. That's it.
How many bridesmaids did you have?
Three.
Mm-hmm. Who was your maid on?
My sister Ernestine.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend Grace and Catherine.
Catherine, huh?
Grace Dow and Catherine Hopper.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Where did you live when you first got married?
Smith Street. 78 Smith Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved downstairs to 82 Smith Street.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there until we moved 2 years ago to North Avenue.
Isn't that something? So all of your children were born over on Smith Street?
From Smith Street.
Hmm. Oh, lots of memories then, I'm sure.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to go on to the 60s, unless there's something else about World War II that I didn't ask about. Do you want to tell me about that era and right after?
Well, blacks started to get more employment in different places. The only black nurse, first one I know, to my knowledge, was Nellie Chase. She's from Florida. She used to live with me. And she got hired at St. Vincent Hospital.
Before then, they didn't have any black nurses?
No black nurses.
In the 40s?
In the 40s. There was no... the most employment that blacks would get there in the, before the 40s, before the war, was, domestic work.
But other areas started opening up now.